When some loud bragger tries to put me down.
Wake up, everybody. It's the Beach Boys.
I tell him right away now.
What's the matter, buddy? Ain't you heard of my school?
It's number one in the state.
This is music right here. Go Thomas Jefferson. Wilson strikes again. This is Bo Mitchell. Our program is You Get the Blessing. My co-host is Bob Belts. Bob, tell us about Route 66. People are excited about this.
Well, we're having a good time, and we are going to break away from it a little bit this morning for a Christmas time, which we've got coming up. But we want to invite you, if you'd like to come down to Highland Community Church, 10:30 this morning, and but Route 66 will be back on next. We're stopping on Route 66 for Christmas, I guess. That's what we're doing, Bo.
Taking a break at a local.
Yeah, but we'll be back on it next week, and we're having a good time there. So, but be true to your school. Our guest this morning, who was on last week, and we didn't get far enough where he could even tell us about torchbearers very much. So we're going to pick up with our guest, Chris Thomas. And Chris, it's great to have you back again. And you know, this is like a serial now it's become. And you've taken us right up to proposing with your wife. And great story. And
his dad was well known too.
Yeah, well, in our last show, we learned that that your dad was Major Ian Thomas, and of course, that ties in with the schools that we're going to talk about today. But we're going to let you pick right up where you left off, and then kind of walk us through how you got engaged in both ministry, and then tell us a little bit about torchbearers, and we'll sort of finish up our story today.
Thank you. I really appreciate you inviting me today, and if you're with us last week, I had just indicated that I proposed to the astonishment of my wife on a rainy English day just outside the Lake District. And she succumbed and said yes. She left the next day, and I arrived a week before the wedding, and we were wed, even though our mother was very concerned. We embarked on our honeymoon, which was very difficult. I used to wonder, how come so many people get divorced? I probably shouldn't say this, but now I wonder how come so many people stay together. But over the 40 years, God has been very, very good in, I would say, humbling me. And we have increasingly learned to love each other and enjoy a wonderful relationship now. And I thank God for that. We have three boys that have produced 8 grandchildren scattered in various places. I am currently the international director of Torchbearers. That's the name of the ministry that began. My dad began it right after the war, the Second World War, with a group of German people who'd become believers in England, as you may recall. And he gathered them together. They referred to themselves as the Fackelträger, which transliterated into English is torchbearers. And we couldn't keep hauling them back to England for discipleship. And so my dad's ambition was to find some place in Germany where they could gather, as we do at Capenray, the castle in England. And he managed to find a mill of a big Catholic cloister up on a hill, Cloister Arnstein on the River Lahn outside Koblenz, and it was a dump, and he was able to acquire it, and if you were to go there now, it's a wonderful building with a full slate of guests, currently a Bible school taking place, and what we refer to as Confi Kids, because as you probably are aware, in Europe, confirmation in the Lutheran Church is very big, and in the Catholic Church. And they always go somewhere before their confirmation to gain some instruction. And the instruction is to prepare them for the confirmation, but in all honesty, very few of them have any idea of what it is to have a real relationship with Jesus. And so when they come for the 4 days, our staff are able to spend those 4 days having fun, and they have a lot of fun, but also letting them know what it is to actually have a relationship with the living God through Jesus. And their lives are many times radically transformed, not just for that week in an emotional high, but then on and on to the years that lie ahead. And so that actually takes place at a number of facilities that we have. So close to Mueller was the first Torchbearer Center.
You're listening to the voice of Chris Thomas here today on You Get the Blessing. I'm Bo Mitchell. My co-host Bob Belts are proud to have Chris back with us again for the second week in a row. His father, Major Ian Thomas, was not only the author of a classic Christian book, The Saving Life of Christ, but was also the founder of the organization that Chris now runs called Torchbearers. And we're hearing a little bit about the growth of Torchbearers and some of the specifics involved with Torchbearers. So just keep talking, my friend. We love your British accent and your ability to tell this story so beautifully.
If you do want to know more about Torchbearers International, you can go online and look at torchbearers.org, and you'll see information on what we represent, where we represent it, and the message we seek to declare. After Close to Mueller was established, then we have moved from place to place, no strategy, just where God has put his finger in spotlight, and people have come forward with the deep ambition of making the message of Christ in you, the hope of glory, known. And so now that's traversed the globe, and we have 25 different facilities, that many of them function as short-term Bible schools, which means that they range, the majority would last 6 to 9 months. Most of the students would be post-college or post-high school, and they would come for that 1 year really to become established in God's word and to discover in practice what it means to walk a Christian life, and then also to understand what it is to communicate this life, this message, objectively, rationally with other people. Because I find that many people do claim to be Christians, but they find it very hard to explain what that really means. They many times think it's simply a ticket to heaven, so missing the whole point. Because, of course, it's not a ticket to heaven. It's an experience whereby He, the living God, by the Holy Spirit, comes to indwell our lives, so that as we yield to Him progressively, which is called sanctification, we increasingly reveal God's character in the world in which we live. And it's an incredibly wonderful privilege. It doesn't make us perfect. I would be the first to recognize that. But it gives us the opportunity of finding purpose in life, meaning and joy, and increasingly as one comes to understand the depth, the significance, the reality of it, there's no stepping back. It's not a choice.
Chris, when we were last together and you had courted your wife quite briefly there, right? You at that time were you running a farm in conjunction with the school, Cape and Ray? How did that change to where now you're actually leading the movement? And
so I started a farm. It was actually a sheep farm. We had some beef and some crops. But my dad broke into my nice, quiet life and offered me the opportunity of going to a Bible college in the United States, Columbia International University. I attended there for 3.5 years and graduated. And then following that, did go back to England for a year. And then Bonnie and I determined to marry. We were married in South Carolina, Greenville, South Carolina. And there was a large crowd of folk there, mainly because of her family's connections. In fact, for what it's worth, Billy Graham actually gave the message which didn't make us any more married.
Come on.
Or any more spiritual.
So we said that last time, but Cliff Roberts is your father-in-law, Billy Graham's partner, and
Carol. Cliff
Barrows.
Oh, do you know who Cliff Roberts is? Founder of Augusta National. Excuse me. Cliff Barrows. Excuse me. So he was partners with Billy Graham and Billy Graham, no kidding. Did your wedding ceremony.
He did. Well,
and he didn't have to come forward because you were already forward. This is good.
That is incredible.
So it was actually a very interesting story. And then at the wedding, in the reception afterwards, a man by the name of Stuart Briscoe, whom I deeply respected, he was a man who was everything I wasn't. He seemed to me to be a rock, fun, exciting, played rugby, broke the speed limit, but loved the Lord Jesus. It didn't gel to me. Anyway, I always wanted to be like him because I was not like him. He had character. I was spineless. And so I was sort of ashamed to be around him because I thought he could see right through me. I don't know if you ever felt that way about someone. Maybe you see a sports figure at the airport and you don't want to go and ask them for the autograph because you think you look stupid. I always felt stupid around Stuart, but I wanted to always be with him. Well, lo and behold, he said, "What are you going to do now?" I said, "Stuart, I've got a ticket back to England, and we're going to go to the castle, and I anticipate carrying on there." I said, "But it's not really the passion of my heart." He said, "Well, how would you like to come up to Wisconsin and join me in the church of which I'm a pastor, Elmbrook Church in Brookfield, Wisconsin?" And boy, I wanted to say yes. I couldn't understand why he was asking me, but I realized just in the nick of time, I'm now married. 20 minutes, I better talk to my wife. And so as soon as there was an opening, I told her that Stuart had invited me or us to come to Wisconsin and join him on his staff. I had no interest in being a pastor. It was not something attractive to me at all. The only thing worse was a missionary, probably. And anyway, I wanted to be with Stuart because I wanted to be with him. And he asked me. And so as soon as Bonnie said okay, because at that point of time she would have walked through fire, she didn't know me that well. And so we spent our month touring around and arrived at Elmbrook Church in Wisconsin. And I need to tell you this. I was fearful of being there. I didn't feel spiritual enough, competent enough, especially in the area of Christian ministry, even though I'd grown up saturated with it. I didn't know what I was going to do. And Stuart said, "Chris, what I want you to do," this was in 1970. And so it was before ministry to singles was really on the horizon. Stuart said, "Chris, 35% of major cities are all single people, divorced, homosexual, regular singles. I want you to start a ministry to single people." Well, I didn't know that category of people, even though I'd been one up till that point. But the thing that really hit me, that's made a difference in my life ever since, was he said, "Chris," he didn't use these words, but he said, "If it fails, we'll just laugh together and do something else." He, for the first time in my life, gave me the freedom to fail. Not because he wanted me to fail, but because he wanted me to succeed. Because if you don't feel the freedom to fail, you never attempt anything. And I think many people are inhibited on many, many fronts because they fear failure, they fear rejection. Stuart gave me the freedom to fail, and I said, "Wow, I can do what I want. And it's okay." So just for the record, really to give glory to God, I embarked on starting a singles program. I gathered 8 people together, and by the end of 4 years, we had well over 1,000. And it was very, very exciting. And then my dad ruined everything by asking me if I'd go to Indonesia and direct our work there. And I managed to say no. He came back at me and said, "How about England?" And I managed to say no again. And then he said, "How about Colorado?" "Oh, we have a place up in Estes Park. And it's a lovely place. I'd been there. But I really didn't want to go." And people would say to me, why would you go to a bump in Colorado when look what's happening here? Because it was reaching into the city, the sports teams, and yet there was only one person that thought it was a good idea. But I think God sided with him. So I had no choice before God but to say, Lord, okay. And so we left. We came to Estes Park, and where we have one of our facilities called Ravencrest Chalet. And if you wind your way up the mountain, just before you peek out and head down into Estes, to the right-hand side, you'll see a sign, Ravencrest Chalet. And that's where Bonnie and I hang out. Please come by. Just open the door and say, I'm here. Show me around.
So you listen to the voice of Chris Thomas, our guest today on You Get the Blessing. We're hearing about Ravencrest Chalet and his ministry, Torchbearers. So keep going, friend. You don't need much to
so
continue to educate our listeners.
I ran Ravencrest for a number of years, and God truly blessed. And I am a blessed man, and I don't deserve it. I have a wife that loves me, that has lifted me up in my position, just as I have learned slowly but surely, learning to submit to her, my wife, in her person. Because as you appreciate, the Bible says, wives, submit to your husbands. And I've got it underlined. And she has to submit to my position because it's my identity. But at the end of that passage, it says, husbands, submit to your wives. Because their identity is their person. And when both partners do that, wow, amazing what can happen. We wouldn't need nearly as much marriage counseling, but it takes a willingness to humble oneself before the other. And so we've been there for a good number of years, and then my dad broke again my nice, peaceful, enjoyable, fun-loving life, because I kind of like to schmooze and so forth. And he, one thing I'd worried about for years, since I was probably 36, was one day my dad might ask me to assume his position as general director of Torchbearers, which now spans the globe in Asia and Europe, Australasia, and of course the United States and Canada, Costa Rica. But I dreaded that possibility because I felt I would need to be like him. And I'm not him. We're very different. I just deeply love him, respect him. He's dead. He died in 07. But it would spoil my fun. I felt that if he ever asked me, I'd commit social suicide. But I knew he wouldn't because I'm not spiritual enough. But then I received a little note that a boy that he had hanging around gave to me in my office. And I opened it up. He said, this is from your dad. And it said, Chris, I want to ask you to assume my position. I need to know in 20 minutes. I about died. 20 minutes. So I ran home. I got out Oswald Chambers. It's a book called My Utmost for His Highest. I read the right date because my dad always read that thing to us. I never could understand it. But I read it and I did understand it this time. And I felt it was God saying, you got to do it.
What was the date?
What date was that? I can't
tell
you.
Sorry.
End of the summer. And I thought, wow, I'm glad it's cheating. That's not the Bible. So I put it down the desk and got my Bible out, and I opened it at random. Don't normally do this. Don't recommend it. But I opened it to the left-hand side, knowing it would be Old Testament, and God couldn't give me an answer there because I didn't want one. I don't even know what book I opened it to. I just know it was the beginning of a chapter on the right-hand side, and I read three verses, and I was dead meat. And I knew that God was saying yes. And it was so ridiculous because I just wasn't, in my view, qualified to assume his position as I saw him exercising that responsibility, traveling the globe and establishing places. People would die for him. And I went up to his office, having kept him waiting 5 minutes just because of my pride, and I told him all the good reasons why I couldn't do it. He kind of tilted back and grinned, and he said, good. He said, you can't. God never said you could. He can, and always said he would. So just let him do it. Well, I'd heard that spiel before when he was preaching, but now it was preaching to me in his office. And then I looked down, and I saw the fax machine. And there was a note on the fax machine, and it was an announcement to the torchbearer staff globally that I was going to be the next international director. I said, Dad, what's this? He just laughed. What could I say? Because I knew, really, I wasn't fighting with my dad. At that moment, I knew I was fighting with God.
Could you repeat again, you can't and God never said you could?
Yeah. He said, you can't. God never said you could. He can and always said he would. So just let him do it. That, of course, is the nature of the Christian life. It's allowing Christ dynamically to live in us and through us as we make ourselves available to him. You see, we had that great deal around our wrists, WWJD. What would Jesus do? And of course, I applaud it, but it really is, it's at cross ways with the truth. We don't copy Jesus. That's religion. That's religion. You see, it's a dynamic relationship with the living God who lives in us. So I don't say, what would Jesus do? Or go spit in a guy's eyes and he'll get healed. I get a prison sentence. No, I say, Lord, this is a new day. How do you want to direct me today? And it may be different than other people. It may be different than the Lord Jesus. It's a dynamic relation because somebody lives in somebody. He lives in you if you're a Christian. Because the only criteria to be a Christian is that God lives in you by the Holy Spirit. That's the only criteria. Anyway, after that encounter with him, I knew I had to submit to God, not to him. And I said, okay. So I assumed I was committing social suicide and life of fun adventure was over. I'd have to run around the place doing what I wasn't competent of doing and burning out for God. Well, I took that position. He was a fanatic Christian, fanatic torchbearer. And he left the office, and he came back probably twice after that. He never went through all the files on the skeleton in that closet, the skeleton in this closet, and all that was going on. He just said, you're in. And I thought, why? I didn't know until about 6 months ago. And my mom said, I hope when you leave this office, which is going to be this coming June, he came down to the room, to the bedroom, and he wept. Hope you don't do that. I said, what do you mean? He wept. He came down from passing the responsibility on to you and he wept. And I suddenly realized, what a man. Because you see, as hard as it was for me to assume the position, it was harder for him to let it go. Mm. But he knew it was as right as I to leave it as I was that it was to accept it.
And how can people get involved with you all? I mean, what kind of help can people give you, or do you need assistance in any way?
Well, I didn't anticipate this would be a promotional opportunity, and I'm reluctant to do that, always have been, but we have very significant needs. And insofar as you're in the area here in Colorado, Ravencrest is our facility, and we just built a new dining room, and we're actually financially stressed, to say the least.
How can people find you and give?
You could contact Ravencrest, ravencrest.org. You could contact me, chris@torchbearers.org. That's chris@torchbearers.org. Or you could go on the our website, torchbearers.org, on the website. And you would find the information about the various centers around the world. And then you could key into Ravencrest, or you could key into a page where there is the possibility of donations. But I would love to talk to you and fill you in more, so it's not just money transacted. It's more of a personal interest, because I'd love for you to see the place, understand the heart of the place and what we do there. That would be much more gratifying to me.
That would be a God deal instead of man trying to pry money from a man, which I do too frequently.
Yes, I'd much rather it be built based out of a relationship.
And tell me again, what year was the ministry founded?
1947.
Whew. What a story. What a great dad. What a great man you are. Thank you for leading it. Give us the information again, because somebody listening is touched. They're going to get in touch with you. They want to have this personal conversation.
Thank you for hanging until the end. To get in contact, you could email me at chris@torchbearers.org. You can go online, torchbearers.org, and you'll get various sites that will, you can look at the different places around the world, and also Ravencrest, and there is a place where you can button in to donation. But better still, come up to Ravencrest, say, is Chris here? And if I am, we'll sit down and have a cup of coffee, and we can have more dialogue about what goes on and why it goes on.
Well, thank you so much for being with us, Chris. We really appreciate it. And, you know, your ministry has had profound impact all around the world. And it's fun for me because I've you know, personally benefited, and I have friends that have been through the school. So thank you so much for being with us today. Bo, let's wrap her up. And I'm going to head off to Highline, and we'll look forward to being with our friends here next week.
Bless you, everybody. Thanks for tuning in.
My school, it's number one in the state.